Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Pony Development Sync for October 17th, 2023. I'm your host, Joe McElvain. If those others on the call would like to say their names so that people can associate a name to the voice when they're listening to the recording later, now is the right time for that.
Hi, I'm Sean Allen.
I'm Gord Tischer.
Pippin Hora.
All right, then. So let's take a look at the auto-generated agenda for today. We have pull request in the Pony C repo, pull request 4466. It's a test of using -ld_classic as a draft BR to see if it fixes a compilation issue on newest macOS systems.
Not quite.
Okay.
This was something that was reported by somebody as a fix for Xcode 15. And I was seeing if in our CI, which has an Xcode earlier than Xcode 15, if it broke anything. And it does not. Now I'm trying to find somebody who has macOS and Xcode 15 to test it, to build this branch and make sure that they can compile Pony programs.
Okay. For some reason, I don't see LD Classic in the changes there. All I see is platform
version. That's because LD Classic didn't work.
Okay, cool. Good to know.
LD Classic is not, only Xcode 15 appears to understand that one.
Okay. Cool. 4465 seems to be a similar test.
Yeah, I'm gonna go ahead and close that. I'm still trying to get DLED or Kieran P to
cool.
Do that. What was the other one's number?
4466. All right, then let's take a look at 4036. Last comment is Sean says this is looking good, but I don't want to merge yet. I want to get a release that solves 4454 first.
Yeah, which is the macOS issue. I would like people who have Xcode 15 to be able to compile without having to take on a thing, which is effectively a breaking change because their code that used to compile might not without them making changes.
Yeah. Although I think, yeah, anything that breaks when we turn on that is like something that a bug that we need to fix in the compiler that we weren't aware of before, but yeah, it could cause new breakages. Definitely.
Yep.
Okay. So moving on then to issue ticket 4464. Return usage in disposing block is flawed and we need to revisit. So last comment from Sean, I think I have a small change for expert return in the expert pass that would address the issue we found. So in expert return, if the parent is a disposing block, and use return only to exit early from a disposing block, not at the end. So this is basically just saying we don't think that return at the end of a disposed block is something that we want to support, or that is something Correct. That you should need. If at worst, if you really want that same behavior, you should be able to get it by just putting return immediately after the block.
Yes, because a disposing block is effectively the same as the method, right? In terms of how return is used. That's why it goes in, that's why I did it in expert return, right?
Yeah, so this is like taking away one way to do a thing which is currently broken, but we still have another way to do the same thing, which is just move the return outside the block.
Well, except that if you move the return outside the block, then it would just tell you would get that same, you would get the error, except it would be for returning from a method early, right? It's the same thing, right?
But if you were like in an if branch,
if you're in an if branch, then this won't trigger. And yes, in the expert return stuff wouldn't trigger either way. Yeah. Yep.
Okay. So in this, okay, that's the part I didn't follow. Let me take a closer look at that function with like the full thing. So at that point, we've already checked if we were in a control flow frame, basically.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
And yes. And in my actual change, I wouldn't have the ASD print in there.
That makes sense. Yep.
Yeah. It was like I tested it with your example, with my example, right? Right. For those two, made sure everything worked and just literally did a git diff and dropped it in here with a comment and was like, well, if that sounds good, Joe, I can move forward with it as an actual like PR.
Yes, it sounds good to me. And I'm just going to remove the AST print from your comment. I'm going to edit your comment to prevent either accident or somebody else misunderstanding. Anyway, yeah, that makes sense. Cool. Simple.
Is disposing block the right term for a public facing error message?
Good question. What do we call it in the tutorial?
That is an excellent question. That should have been, yes. How do we? We call them with blocks.
Yeah.
So I will edit that here too. To say the error message, well, here you can see a minute. Okay, does that seem good?
Yes, giving a thumbs up emoji. There we go. Yeah, so let's take a look at 4457 backend null in epoll during CI run. This doesn't have any new activity since last week's discussion. Do we want to remove the tag or leave the tag on for this one?
Let's remove the tag. I'll go ahead and do that.
Okay. 4454, we've already discussed that one a bit. This is the compile error related to the new Xcode version that you've been trying to coordinate the resolution of.
Yep, I'm going to drop the discuss off. Joe, do you have that Mac that we, the mini or whatever we got you, does it have Xcode 15 on it?
Probably not. It's probably outdated, but okay. I can try to update it.
All right. Yeah. I haven't heard from either of them in a bit. So it would be, if there's someone who has a Mac who could do that, that would be great. Like you.
Like me. Okay. So I'll have to remember how to update an Xcode version, but I can give that a go. Yeah.
I think there's a command line thing or something. Yeah, but yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I would love to not have to actually hook up a screen to the thing. I'll take a look. Cool. Take a look at that after the call. Let's talk about 4088, type unions, default arguments applied to the wrong function.
Oh, yes. So I took a look at this, right? And we'd broken it off from 4088, right? And while I do think it is a separate thing, the solution to 4088 is also the same thing that would be needed for 4073.
Okay.
We need
Which
to know
complete rework of how default arguments work.
Yeah, we need to know at runtime, like what we're actually supposed to be getting, right? That needs to be part of like the lookup.
So I had an idea about how to do that, but I think maybe, oh yeah, I had the same idea in April 2022 on the 4073 ticket, which is having a shim function that sits in front. And yeah, non-trivial changes to selector painting logic to make sure we're getting the right virtual table indexes for those.
Yeah, and as part of that, in order to make this happen, we need to be keeping around like all of the possible things that this could be and see that not all of them have a default arg and therefore reject this at compilation time, right? Like this is a thing that can be rejected at compilation time, but it requires a full reworking of default arg stuff to do that.
So the part when you say it should be rejected at compilation time, specifically that would be in the like at the top of issue ticket 4088 in the code that
yes. is
shown there in
yes.
x.string, that x.string call site would be this part that generates a compilation error, because you can only call that type union, like in concept you would only be able to call that type union with an argument. Recall that method on that type unit if you supply the argument, because so it's okay if you supply the argument, but it's not okay if you don't, basically.
Yep. And then in the example I gave below, this is one which requires, as per 4073, all of the work that would have to go into 7043 applies in order to fix what is a not non-controversially a bug here as well that I gave as an example, because 4073 is slightly controversial in some of its aspects, but mm-hmm. here is something that requires all of the 4073 work to fix what is non-controversial as a bug.
Yes, that is non-controversial bug, which is, those listening along, that you have two implementations of a function which have default arguments, but they have different values of the default arguments. And it grabs the one from the first element of the type union. So it's like it uses the wrong default argument for the other one, which is definitely surprising behavior at the least. And not any behavior I'm willing to defend or justify as not being a bug. Okay. All right. Looking at issue ticket 4037, LLVM IR verification failure from with return runner test. We talked about this a little bit. This is the one that you've already have a fix for. Okay.
Yep. I'll move the discuss during sync and the needs investigation and the help wanted. And put as assigned to me.
And the next up on our list is issue ticket 1889. Type param ref modifier in constraint is not applied properly during subtyping. This is from 2017. Latest comment is from 2 weeks ago. That basically, you tried a suggestion from Paul, that didn't work.
Yep. So I updated with that. I just pulled the tag off. Yeah, there's nothing really more to say about it right now.
Yeah.
Just, hey, I already tried the thing which Paul said this might be a simple blah, blah, blah fix of this. And no, it is not.
It was not as simple as might be hoped. Okay. Issue ticket 1798. This arrow X bang should not be a subtype of this arrow X. Another one from Paul. Left a comment saying this no longer compiles. I believe it's been fixed, but leaving it open for discussion at sync. Jason pointed out that another example of it does still compile and is problematic.
Oh, it still is, should be open. I'll take the disgust during sink off. Yep.
Yeah. Viewpoints are hard.
Yes, they are.
Viewpoints, specifically viewpoints over generics, are hard. Viewpoints over non-generics are actually pretty straightforward, but generics make it hard. Okay. That is the entirety of the auto-generated agenda for today. Does anybody have special topics, things they want to discuss? I guess I'll quickly bring up the unfortunate outcome of us waiting around for GitHub Actions. They said they were going to bring us Apple Silicon GitHub hosted runners, and they did, but the fine print was that they bring them for a fee. So as of right now, only the large and extra large runners that you can buy use of or rent use of are Apple Silicon. The normal macOS runners are still not Apple Silicon.
And
so it's unfortunate.
And there's an extra bit of fine print to go into that as well, Joe, is that you are not eligible as under the open source plan that we are to buy time for larges or extra larges. You have to be on the paid team, at least like a paid team plan as well, which adds another wrinkle. If we were to ever consider something like that, we have to be in order to pay GitHub money for any of those CI runners, you have to be paying GitHub money in general for being on a plan.
Okay. So we lose our free ride if we try to ask for more in our cup.
Okay. Yep. I don't know what the full impact of that would be. I haven't looked at pricing, right?
Yeah.
And because we don't have any private repos, so maybe it doesn't have any real impact there, except for them charging us for everybody who's a member of a pony team, right? On a monthly basis, which is something, but you know, which is still a non-trivial. For us, it's a non-trivial amount of money, but it wouldn't. I can't imagine that would ever be more than like $100 a month, which we do have funding coming in right now to deal with. But that would be in order to pay for runners, which we can't easily control the bill from. Which, you know, I think that's where we really start to get into trouble.
Yeah, if we can't easily control the bill, it becomes tricky.
Yep.
So yeah, I think well. I'm not somebody who follows closely on Apple developments in terms of their like future of their product offerings to the extent that they disclose it. But isn't it like fairly expected that Apple is moving away from Intel and they're moving toward exclusively Apple Silicon at some point in the future?
Yes.
So at least at that point, we should get macOS runners on Apple
I would
Silicon
hope so.
If they retain them for free at all. That they would, the free ones would then be.
So yeah, I don't know what the life cycle is, but I would imagine within 2 years there is no OS update for the Intel Macs. But it could be as soon as next year's OS version. I don't know the particular details on it, but I mean. I don't think there are any machines. Oh, yes, I went looking. There are, when I went looking recently, when we had like an x86 bug that I was for Mac that I was trying to figure out what the easiest way to debug it would be. You can't buy any x86 Macs anymore from Apple, I don't think. Or if they have any, they're incredibly expensive ones. So at this point, it's a matter of when do they stop supporting them? When do they stop supporting x86 altogether? Is the only question.
Cool. So it seems like we just wait more and wait for GitHub to roll out Apple Silicon as a more general thing? Because it seems like fairly inevitable unless they're going to stop supporting free macOS runners, which would be probably something they're not going to do.
Yeah, I know Cirrus was doing the macOS Apple Silicon runners, where they had actually developed their own thing to do the virtualization on them to run people's jobs, which is not available directly in the same type of way that apparently there's something for x86 that you could do. There's like additional work that they had to do. Perhaps like I read that GitHub announcement, and it seems like they're giving you an entire machine, right? That's why it's like the large and extra large. And maybe GitHub will be doing something to make it so that they can slice up the machine in the same way that like Cirrus was. Maybe, I hope. I don't know. We'll see.
Yep. Okay. Any other special topics or things people want to raise for discussion?
Nope.
All right, then. Thanks, everyone, for attending, and for those listening along to the recording later, we'll see you next week. Bye.